Well, reason for the call today, John, is...
Welcome to Internal Use Only.
Something just came across my desk, John. It is perhaps the best thing I've seen in the last 6 months. If you have 60 seconds, I'd like to share the idea with you. You got a minute?
A podcast for wholesalers.
Always be closing. Always be closing.
By wholesalers.
Blue Horseshoe loves anti-cut steel.
Okay, before we get started, I have one question. Has anyone here passed a Series 7 exam?
I have a Series 7 license.
Good for you. You can get out.
Let's cut to the chase.
Here's your host, Dan Sullivan.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Internal Use Only podcast. I'm your host, Dan Sullivan. Thank you so much for tuning in. I wanted to thank everyone. I know it's been a minute since our last post, about a month or so. Thanks for being patient with the 2024 launch calendar. A quick announcement. Lots of you listening know that this podcast is completely bootstrapped by me. All the recording, editing, and posting. It's been an awesome year, but also a very busy year. For 3 years, I've been able to stick to about an episode every 2 weeks. I'm going to move that to monthly for a couple of reasons. First, I don't want any of these interviews or conversations to be rushed. And then most importantly, as much as I want all of you to hear episodes as quickly as possible, several of the recordings have to get approved by firms' compliance departments. So as you and I are well aware, we love our friends in compliance, but I probably have better odds of winning the Powerball this week than I do for compliance to approve a podcast within 1 week's time, which would be my preference. So from here on out, as of May or April turning into May 2024, we're likely going to have monthly podcast episodes. As always, send guests my way via email or the Instagram handle. The email is internalusonlypodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at internalusonlypodcast and send us a message with guest suggestions. Now that we got the housekeeping out of the way, I was recently down in New York City. My current company was a sponsor for an event, the PEI Investor Relations, Sales, and Marketing Communication Forum. It's a great event, and it was a short trip. It was, 2.5 days. I'm in Boston. It was down in New York City. And over the course of those 2.5 days, there were a number of different observations that I had just about the conferences, the travel. And because wholesalers are so in tune with a regular travel routine, I thought I would highlight some of the takeaways from that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break this down as if it's the in and out trend. If you're not familiar with this in and out trend, it is something that, of course, the internet brought to us at the beginning of 2024. You may have seen this from your favorite meme accounts or anywhere else on TikTok. I'm a millennial, so obviously I don't have TikTok, but I saw it via Instagram. We all know how that goes. But the overall idea is this. You write down a list of things that say in, and you write down a list of things that say out. Those that are counting as in are things that you would like more of in this calendar year or things that you like. And those things that are out are such that either you don't like it or in terms of how the kids say it these days, you can miss me with that. So over the course of these 2.5 days at this conference, there were a number of different things that I was like, you know what? This is great. Love this. And then there were also on the other side, a lot of things that I was like, you know what? I could really just completely do without. I have these conversations where I talk about these things with my wholesaler friends, with my coworkers. So I thought I would bring this subject to you, the podcast network, because wherever you're listening to this episode, you've probably dealt with similar things. So for today's episode, we're taking that theme of in versus out and applying it to both the travel and the conference experience that I recently attended. Before we get into the travel or the event itself, I have to explain who was at this conference. So like I mentioned, it was the PEI Investors Relations event. And if investor relations is a title that is less familiar to more of a like a traditional wholesaler, these are all salespeople, mostly at alternative asset managers who historically work with institutional investors. So pensions, foundations, endowments. There's also a lot of placement agents there, which are essentially like outsourced salespeople too. It's a little bit of a different audience than your traditional retail shop or a traditional wholesaler that sells to your wirehouses or to your independent broker dealers. But at the end of the day, sales is sales. So like a lot of these people that were at the event, like myself, we're in a similar role. We're handling client conversations while we're at this event. And a lot of the topics overlapped. So things like, obviously, of course, AI, and things like the democratization of alternatives and how more retail investors are accessing what were historically more institutional alternative strategies. So it was a great mix of people. It was like, it's like salespeople with salespeople, and I find that to make for a pretty fun conversation. So just setting the stage for who was at that event, it was a sales conference for salespeople. So it made for some good networking and some good fun. But here are some of these observations that I've got. So of course you travel in and out for these events. This was a pretty short trip for me, so it wasn't anything that I had to either pack too much for or be a little bit overwhelmed. But I will say, anytime I go down to New York City in April, it's so difficult because I have to decide if I'm going to bring a larger winter coat or if I'm just going to say, screw it, and take the risk that it might be like 35 degrees because it's like perfect tweener weather in New York City. You could either get a nice 55 degree day where you don't need a jacket or you need a winter coat. Obviously, if you're traveling and you're a salesperson, the reason you don't bring the coat is that you don't have any extra luggage or things to carry around with you. So that was even before I got on the plane. But here we go with our overall travel, right? So we're going with travel ins and outs. So things about my trip down there that were either good and I liked or that you can miss. So I'm going to start with the ins. Newly renovated airports, very specifically LaGuardia. Some of the airports are just brutal with it just being old, not renovated, bar, restaurants, or food options lacking. It is incredibly refreshing to be in a newly renovated airport where everything is clean, everything is newer, and there's plenty of different food options. It makes for a very, very easy trip. After I got off the plane, everything on the flight was pretty smooth. Let's talk about like the hotel situation. So you're like me, you're probably staying in 3 or 4 star hotels. I would say like the Marriott properties are right in the wheelhouse for the majority of salespeople. They're not too much money. They're not shitty hotels. They're kind of like right in the in-between. What I've noticed over the years is that it can be very hit or miss with both like the staff at the hotel and some of the amenities. So I wanted to give kudos, or I want to say what is in is nice hotel staff. We had this incredibly nice person down at the hotel. He was just like very accommodating. Anything we needed, we got. I had my wife with me. She had our infant with us, and they were super accommodating. It was like unbelievable how nice that the hotel staff was. There's a lot of either like mobile check-in or kind of like hands-off service now. So it was kind of nice to have like a hotel person make you feel welcomed and make you feel like you are a priority guest, even though I was definitely in like a middle-rate hotel in Manhattan. And on that next token is gyms. If you're like me, I usually find myself at conferences and events. I have to move around a little bit just to feel better, especially if there's going to be networking or happy hours or dinners out. So having a gym that doesn't feel like basically like a 10 by 10 dungeon and one that has modern equipment is always very well appreciated. So absolutely love that more hotels have better gyms, because that's a really good place to spend your time, or at least shoulder time in the early mornings, or maybe if you got a break in the afternoon before you go out for the night at hotels. So when it comes to overall travel, things that are in right now on my list: newly renovated airports, nice hotel staff, hotel gyms. Now on the flip side, things that are out for travel, really two. I mean, this one is universal. Hoarding the overhead storage, especially on a smaller plane, it bothers me so much. It truly grinds my gears when people add bags to the overhead storage that should be underneath their feet. Like, that is basic 101 travel. And what pisses me off so much about it is it just creates a scene of chaos for those that are looking to place their bags overhead, because inevitably the plane starts to board. The last third of the people getting there realize they're screwed and nobody gate checked their bag. And it just makes people angry, annoyed. And then the selfish people that got on early and put their, you know, like pocketbook or their laptop bag in the overhead storage have kind of ruined it for everybody. As a pro tip, like what I typically do, I almost, if I can, 90% of the time, I will gate check my luggage. Like just to avoid the hassle of dealing with overhead space. Obviously, that's going to be for like smaller planes, more regional flights. I don't worry about that as much when you're on a bigger aircraft and you're flying halfway or totally across the country where you know you're going to get the overhead space. But for those small planes, 9 out of 10 times, I am gate checking that bag just to avoid the hassle of getting on the plane and realizing that either there's not any overhead storage or I'd have to go like all the way back to the end of the plane. And then when we land, just sit there like an idiot while everybody gets off the plane and I just wait to walk to the back to get to where my luggage is. So I am completely out on hoarding overhead storage. The other thing that I am out on, unnecessary email and text updates from my airline about minimal or insignificant changes. Putting Delta on the spot here. I love flying Delta. Delta's a preferred airline for me, especially out of Boston. They send messages if your flight has changed from like a 2:30 p.m. departure time to like a 2:37 p.m. departure time. So it's like the night before this conference, like a Monday night, I'm getting all my shit together. And then I get a message that's like, upcoming change to your flight to New York City. And I look at the app and I'm like, I don't really see anything that's changed. And then I have to log in. I can't log in from the app to see that change. And then it's like, your flight is expected to depart at 2:37. It was 2:30. And I'm just like, this is the most unnecessary update. Like, I'm getting stressed for nothing. Maybe if we had a significant, maybe we should, if at Delta, sponsor the podcast if you want to, first and foremost. But second, why don't we make like a parameter here? If it's like more than a half an hour difference, then send me a text update. Like, I'm good without your updates if there's a negligible change. So out for that. So those are just a couple of things like around the overall travel experience. So I hope that was like, if you're in sales or if you've traveled, I hope maybe you feel similar to me in some of these things. Maybe you don't. Either way, let me know what you think after you've listened to the episode. Shoot us a message on Instagram or send over an email. Now onto the meat of this, the conference itself. So what are some of these ins and outs versus conferences? So what is in? A few things. Informal networking time. I find that it can be really overwhelming when you attend an event and it's just constant programming. So much so that people tend to have to like leave sessions or leave the event to go do regular work. So I think it's nice when you can have like an informal break that's kind of built into the schedule that gives people the chance to kind of just respond to emails or do whatever they need to do. Like, our brains right now are not programmed to have like the focus and attention to be operating from like 8 a.m. to like 5:30 p.m. just because we're at a conference. So in informal networking time, and that happened at this event. It was awesome. Like, it was a good space. A lot of folks were like checking in over emails, phone calls. Obviously, like I said, a lot of people there were all in sales roles. So like, there were a few conversations that I had just because myself and a few others that were at the event were just kind of catching up on our own time, having calls or updates that we needed to get done throughout the day. And it was a good way to actually say hi to people, but in a, you know, it was almost like more productive than being in the session sometimes, or like the happy hour or cocktail event. So those were, that was pretty helpful. Like, informal networking time where you meet people more organically, those are always solid for me. Something else that I feel like is in, this is more on the attire standpoint. I can speak at least for the men in this regard. No ties, or way, way, way less ties. I feel like this has been a conversation that has happened or come up a lot since, especially since we started working more remotely in COVID. But almost everything is so much more informal now. And even though the conference agenda had said that it's formal attire or business attire, there were probably only two or three people that were wearing ties. And you could probably guess the age demographic of the individuals wearing ties. Like, I am all for only wearing a tie if absolutely necessary. Suits without a tie, I think, is a fantastic look. I think it gives you the opportunity to mix and match with jackets, sport coats, whatever pair of pants that you might want to have. And in some regard too, with like your footwear options. So I am huge. I'm very much in on a more casual attire, both for men and for women. Like, let's be comfortable. Let's not take ourselves too seriously. I would love to hear, as far as like the wholesalers that are out in the field right now, the traditional wirehouses, I think, have more of a buttoned up, you know, shirt, tie, sport coat culture. Like, the big banking platforms are probably the last to hold on to the, like, hey, you show up in a suit and a tie. I'd be curious as to what wholesalers out in the field are actually wearing in and out while you're traveling and on the road. If you're like the Midwest, and like, I've been to events with advisors where I'm in everything from like my best suit and tie to like essentially like shorts and a flip flop because of the how that advisor is. So I feel like it really, really ranges. But at this particular conference, middle of Manhattan, big fan of having like no ties required, and I'm a huge fan of that. What else? Conferences in. So live polls from the audience. This was a conference where there were small group sessions and then large ones. So you'd have some rooms that have 20 people in it. The entire audience would be like up to 250, let's say that. Having an app and a tool that would allow the people on stage running the panels to post a question and the audience live answering was great, because you can see the results in real time. That was something I had seen it not in my role like as a wholesaler or selling products. Like I haven't seen that come into play. I've seen it at other conferences and events in my life, but good to see that you can have like live polls. Those are all solid. And then I would say here's a huge one in when you have an organic meeting up with someone who you have to see, but you did not have to go out of your way or interrupt a conversation with them to go say hello. Those are always the most miraculous moments. So for me at this particular event, I was checking in, I was registering, I was just getting my name badge. And then the person that walked in right behind me and says hello was one of those seven clients that I had an absolute priority to see. We caught up for a few minutes. It checked that box. It was a lovely, lovely start to the week for me because it just took off one person that I needed to see and I had all the appropriate follow-ups that were already dialed in. So you love it in more random bump-ins with the people you have to see while you're at a conference. Let's move on to some of the outs for conferences, which inevitably, these are definitely more observations, but I gotta roll these out. Okay, so here's how I'll define this. When you're in sales, you're at a networking event, at a conference, your goal is to say hello and find people that are either prospects or people that are your clients, like people that you want to have maybe a productive conversation with. It can be really unfortunate and annoying when someone else that is either a competitor or another fund representative, like another wholesaler, or someone who you don't really need to speak to, takes up your time during that networking session. So we all know that that's a reality, but here's what I'm going to label as out. Other salespeople's being dismissive after they meet you. Like there's this, it's hard to describe this. You just kind of, it's one of those, if you know, you know, kind of situations. But when you shake somebody's hand and then they calculate you're not a person they want to be speaking to, and then their body language, their expressions, their interest in hearing anything you have to say just completely goes out the window. One, I think that's completely rude. Just like, don't do that. And two, you never really know where there's going to be an overlap or an introduction that could be made. So it just like really, really bothers me when you go say hi to somebody and they just like immediately dismiss you because they think that you're either like a competitor or a salesperson. So that's out for me. While I will always laugh at the visual reaction, like when you're a wholesaler, you talk to another wholesaler, then they realize it. It's like, oh, damn, I was hoping that the person whose hand I just shook would be a prospect of mine. That's always going to be entertaining to me. But I am out when other salespeople are very like dismissive and just couldn't give you the time of day. Other things that are out. Dumb buzzwords. Just when you're speaking to people, especially other salespeople, like dumb buzzwords just are going to kill me. Like I just can't stand when people are like beating around the bush and not being direct with either what they do, who they sell to, or what their actual product is. For this event, I'll call out somebody who is, it was part of a panel discussion, and this individual used the word like monolithic. He used the word monolithic in a way to describe how things worked at his company. And he was on stage for, let's say, 30 minutes. And I think he used the word monolithic like 9 times. And I was sitting there like, what is this guy even trying to say right now? Like, I think he thinks that he's saying something that means something. But in the context of what we were discussing on this, what he was discussing on this stage, he ended up using the word monolithic like 7 times. So I'm out on either that, like those unnecessary buzzwords or repeating a word multiple times that doesn't really make sense in the context of what we're talking about. So I'm sure we've all been on national sales calls or part of meetings where someone uses a word and then it's either not used correctly or just becomes a word that everybody uses, but it actually doesn't make sense. So that's kind of what I'm out on. And then I just highlighted this a little bit. Another thing that I'm completely out on, just not being specific about who you sell to or like what your product does. I was in a conversation with somebody and I don't know if they just assumed that I wasn't capable of understanding the investment product although I used to sell that exact kind of product. So I don't really didn't understand what this person was trying to do, but they just kept being vague and not even answering questions of like, oh, okay. So like who are your current clients? Not great answers. Okay. Like what is your ideal target market? Like if you were to work like geographically, AUM ranges, who would be those people? And just beating around the bush. Like that bothers me so, so much. I also have a funny story from like a month ago. I was at a friend's birthday party at a casino here in Boston. Someone in that discussion happened to work at a very large asset manager, which I'm very familiar with, used to sell against those products. And I work in the capacity with them today. And I was like, what do you do? And they're like, oh, I sell SMAs. And I don't think she anticipated that I would know what an SMA was. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. I was like, what channel? Like, who do you sell that to? And she's like, oh, it's bespoke solutions for institutions. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, awesome. Which institutions? And she was like, insurance providers. I was like, okay, great. So like, what do you have in the SMAs? And she's like, oh, they're bespoke custom tailored solutions. And I was like, what are you talking about right now? Like, if it's an insurance company, it's probably going to be fixed income because they typically have limits to what they can invest in. And this discussion played out over like a cocktail hour. And I just found it hilarious because I was like, hey, you're not giving me anything of substance for me to be able to understand like what the hell you actually do. So I'm out on that. You can probably tell I feel passionate about that. It's like, hey, be specific about like who you work with or what your product does. That way we could either help each other or agree that maybe we're not going to be, not going to be a good conversation. Let's just split. So general wrap up here, traveling and conferences are a way of life for wholesalers. If you're an external, you're probably doing it all the time. If you're an internal, maybe you're traveling in and out of your territory with some degree of frequency. These were just a few of my observations and I wanted to put it into a framework that would maybe be different, maybe be fun. Let me know if you agree with anything that I said, if you disagree, if I am in line or if I'm way off the mark on any of this, or if you have any good stories that are similar to mine. I always like to hear the audience feedback. When people ask what the success of the podcast is, I always say it does not have to do with the number of downloads. It has to do with how the audience engages, and everyone that's tuned in has always responded well or appreciated the post. So just like you always have, let me know if you have either any other notable ins versus outs when it comes to travel or conferences, and maybe we'll run back another episode here. So as always, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back most likely now on a monthly frequency with new episodes, with new guests. Send us topics or guests that you would like to have on the show to either internalusonlypodcast@gmail.com or to the Instagram handle @internalusonlypodcast. Thank you so much and have a great week.
Thanks for listening. Find us on Instagram @internalusonlypodcast or email us @internalusonlypodcast@gmail.com.